go to the Lord in prayer this morning, first thing. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you do. We give you praise, honor, and glory in all things. We look to you, Father, for your strength, your help, your guidance, and your directions in our life. Father, that you are the one that makes the difference in our lives. God, it don't matter how much we try to do it on our own way, it always fails. God, you are the only one that can lead us into what you want us to be, to make us into your image and your likeness. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We ask you, Lord, that you would just empty me of me this morning. And Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit. Fill this whole congregation with your spirit this morning. And just let us learn from you this morning. We thank you for all that you do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Nathan, I know you're probably listening, so you'll be proud of me. I have no notes except for what's on my iPad. So I want to talk to you this morning about a change of state. A change of state. A change of state happens when something is transformed to something else. One of the best examples that I could give you this morning is water. Water is a liquid state, but it can only stay in a liquid state from 33 degrees to 211 degrees. Once you apply heat to it, once it gets to 212 degrees, it changes state. It goes from a liquid to steam. Once you remove enough heat from it, once it gets to 32 degrees, it becomes a solid. It becomes ice. And once you raise the temperature up just a little bit to 33, it goes right back to a liquid. It goes back to its original state. If you take that water and put it in a pot, put it on a stove, and you add heat to it, it begins to steam, begins to boil, begins to steam. If you take a lid or something over top of it a little ways, once that starts, the steam starts hitting it, it's cooling it back down, it condenses and makes itself back into a liquid state again. Same circle. So I want to ask you something this morning. Does God change our state? Does God change our state? I want to look at this morning as the heat source being God's love. And the liquid as us. So without God's love, the absence of it, we, in a sense, gets like this bottle of water that you take to 32 degrees. We get kind of in a frozen state. Our heart gets hard. We get bitter. We tend to isolate ourselves from other believers. We tend to get to the place where we don't pray as much. We don't study as much. We don't read as much. Church attendance declines. But when we allow God's love to fill us and it becomes so enriched in us that we like that water, it gets so much heat, it's got to change state. We do the same thing. If we allow God's love just to fill us constantly, we'll get that same feeling. We'll have that feeling of excitement, that feeling of love. It has to. It's contagious. We become warm, become friendly, and we become excited. See, every time in the Word of God, that God the Father, the Son Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit has spoke, moved, or appeared, a change of state happened. A change of state took place. You can see this in the Bible everywhere. All 66 books, you can look through every book, and you'll find in there many changes of state. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heaven and the earth, the Bible says that the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then it goes on to say that God said. Notice that he moved, and he spoke, and now look what has happened. The state of the earth that was in, it was void, it was without form, and darkness covered it. When God spoke, the state of that earth was in, it had to change. John David, every day for 6 days, it changed. It changed so much that it had a form, that light shined upon the darkness. It was land, dry land coming out from the sea. It changed. The state changed. Now it has life. It's beautiful and it's robust. There's greenery. It's full of life. In Genesis 2 and 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." See, God formed man from the dust. Was what? A change of state. And just like the earth, it was void and lifeless, so was the state of man. Then God moved and he reached down and he breathed the breath of life into man. And he became full of life. He became a living being, a living soul. See, it changed man's state from lifeless to living. And he still does the same thing today. He is the one that gives you that life. He is the one that fills you. He is the one that changes you. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses was moving the sheep around the valley there, and all of a sudden there was a bush that was on fire and not being consumed. And Moses was intrigued, and God spoke to him, and Moses' state changed. If you look through all of Moses' life, you will see, if you study Moses out through the all different things, God was constantly changing his state. Constantly molding him, making him, shaping him. I know some of us got iPads and phones and everything, but Exodus chapter 14, we're going to go through all through that, 1 through 31. We're not going to read it all at one time. We'll kind of break it up just a little bit, but I think, yeah, he's got it up there now. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Heroth between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Sivon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. Notice that the Lord spoke to Moses, and he gave instructions to him, and he also gave him prophecy. Verses 10 through 12. It says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better off for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Notice what state the Israelites were in. In the King James Version, the original version, it says, it uses the word sore, afraid. That word sore in the Hebrew means exceedingly much. Abundantly. They were literally terrified of the Egyptians. They began to complain and were angry with Moses, telling Moses that they would have been better off if he'd just left us alone, stayed in that bondage, stayed in that slavery. You have brought us out here to be killed. Don't we do this today? We get things that don't quite go just right. We don't go like we think they should. And we complain. We murmur. And all those things. Even saying, or I've said it, Lord, I'd been better off just where I was at. Verse 13 and 15 says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Notice the state that Moses was in. All the other ones was in a state of fear, state of panic. What was Moses' state? He was fixed. He was focused. He wasn't wavering. He was listening intently to the Lord's instructions. And he began to tell the Israelites what God had told him. To fear not. To stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the problem you are faced with today, you shall never see again. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. In our own lives, we can really benefit from what he just told them. Like I said, when things happen, things come against us. Things just happen in life. You know, emergencies. And we tend to, when the enemy is on us and he just won't leave us alone. And he's getting us in this place and that place. We can benefit by doing what he said. And those things are, cry out to God. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. What's the problem that you're faced with from the enemy? Begin to be removed. Hold your peace. And most importantly, quit crying and complaining. And go forward when God tells us to. We move when he says move. Look what Moses done. He was obedient to him every time he spoke to him. And look at all the things that happened in his life. Verse 16. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself and Pharaoh, over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Notice now that God has given Moses some more direction. Verse 19 through 20 says, And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness, and to the one it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. So God is beginning to move here. The angel of God that was before them is now moving to the rear to get between the Israelites and the Egyptians. Verse 21, Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. You ever think about that? Wouldn't that be terrifying? You just walked through a place that was underwater forever, and now it is completely dry, but you're in it, and there's a wall of water on each side of you. That'd be kind of scary. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Changed their state too, didn't they? Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and to their left. Moses done what the Lord had instructed him to do. The sea parted. The land underneath them, under their feet, was completely dry. The Israelites crossed over, and then Moses done it again, as the Lord instructed him. And the waters came back and drowned all the Egyptian army. Do you see why it's important to hear the Lord and to be obedient to what He's saying? James chapter 1, it says to be a, not just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. See, Moses heard the word and he done it. And that's what we get sidetracked on sometimes. We hear the word of the Lord. We don't do it. We just hear it. And he also says in there that when we do that, we're deceiving our own self. Verse 30 and 31 says, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Notice that the Lord saved Israel that day just like He promised. That's a little nugget for you. When we see these promises in the Word of God, He will bring them to pass. But notice now the change of state that the Israelites are now in. Remember, they was fearful. And now, they was terrified of man. Now they fear the Lord. They went from a state of uncertainty to a state of certainty. They went from believing, from not believing, to believing in the Lord and in Moses. This is a perfect picture of how sin, when it comes upon us, or we fall into it, how when the enemy is hot on our heels, he's trying his best to trap us and to pull us down. If we put our faith and our trust in the Lord and our obedience, He'll send that angel of God to the rear. Amen. He'll give us that dry path to walk down. He will devour the enemy. And we can be free and victorious through it, through Him. That's where our victory comes from. He will change our state. Now look at another little story. Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. And with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity has taken away, and your sin has been purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I. Send me. See, that's the correct way that we were supposed to respond. Whenever the Lord moves us into something, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. So all the Gospels, like I said, the whole book, but all the Gospels are full of how Jesus touched, how he moved, how he spoke, and how it changed their state. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk. He raised the dead. He caused the sick to be healed. Everywhere he went, there was a change of state. Everything he'd done, it changed somebody's state. He's just as eager and wanting to change your state today. I'll tell you a little story that's not in the Bible. Me and Kathy was married in 1983. And within the next year, Kathy had gotten really, really sick. She got down to 96, 98 pounds. And the doctor said they had found two tumors on her colon. And he said, we're pretty sure that it's cancer. You know, back in 83, that was definitely a death sentence. So he said, the only way we're going to know for sure is we get a biopsy. So back then, they kind of rolled you in. You know, you was on the stretcher and kind of walked back there to the... They kind of put you in like a little hallway until the room was available. I was a lost man. Kathy was saved at a young age. I knew very little about the Lord. I knew very little about any of it. But I respected it. I respected the house of God, and I respected the pastors. Well, we was out there, and this pastor walks out. We didn't know him. He comes through, and he said, I feel like I need to pray with you guys. Do you mind? And I said, sure. He prayed, simple little prayer, and he left. Well, they go in and take Kathy back, and Kathy can tell you a lot of that story, but they ended up being a whole team of doctors come back there, and nurses. And they asked the question, when was your surgery done? And we said, she hasn't had no surgery. We come to get the biopsy done. He put the x-rays up and he showed. He said, that looks like they have been surgically removed. That changed her state. And it should have, you would think, changed my state. Somebody in here needs to hear this. See, it didn't change mine. I went right back to partying. I went right back to doing my thing. 5 years. We'll fast forward 5 years from that point. Her uncle had got killed in a tragic truck accident. And we went up to the funeral home, and then the funeral. And you know how they used to do, like you'd have the funeral home that night, then you would have the, you'd go over to the family's house that night. And then the next day they had the funeral. So we go to the funeral home and we go to the house that night. And her brother had just gotten saved about 3 weeks prior to this. And her uncle was like an associate pastor. And they was, I walked into the kitchen to get something to drink. And they was standing there and they was talking about what the Lord had done for them and how good the Lord was. They wasn't talking to me. I want you to hear that. They wasn't talking directly to me. They was talking amongst themselves. Because I want to show you how powerful just talking about the Lord is. Wasn't talking to me. Every time I would try to walk out of that kitchen, somebody would come in that door. I couldn't get out. I was trapped there. And the whole time, that's all I could think about. But that night, we stayed up there, and it was in around Granite Falls, Hickory area. And I couldn't sleep a bit. Got up the next morning, we go to the funeral. That's all I could think about. We drive all the way home, 2 hours. And Kathy said, "Are you okay? You ain't said anything." So yeah, I just got a lot on my mind. So I didn't know what was happening to me. You forget, I wasn't raised in church. We went just a few times. So the next morning, I didn't sleep that night either. Next morning we get up and go to work. It's Halloween by the day. So I get in the car. I lived over in Concord at the time, and I drove to Charlotte to work. And I come across this one intersection that I had went through every morning for years. When I crossed that intersection, my radio station changed to 94.1. It had never, ever done that. Now, it wasn't K-Love back then. It was like a Southern Gospel station. But I never will forget, Jack Lemmon out of Kernersville was given an altar call. And I knew that connection then. I gave my heart to the Lord driving down the road. Changed my state. So I get home. And Kathy, it seemed like I was working on a dryer or something. I don't remember. But Kathy come in. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well," I said, "you know what happened to your brother a few weeks ago?" She said, "Yeah, he gave his heart to the Lord. He got saved." I said, "Okay, whatever. That happened to me this morning." Well, Tuesday morning, I go out, and there's a church that I'd never even known existed prior to, but it looked like the steeple was sitting in our front yard. And I told Kathy, I said, I don't know, but that I don't know nothing about that church, don't know who goes there, anything else about it, but I know I need to be there. I said, "What do they do on Wednesday nights?" She said, well, it depends. Some of them has prayer meetings. Some of them don't have a service. Some of them does different things. Some of them has like a church service. I said, okay, so we'll just wait to Sunday. So Sunday comes. We go to that church. And when the pastor comes out, guess who he was? The one that prayed for Kathy 5 years prior. See, I didn't know God was working on me 5 years prior to that. But he was. He changed my state. I ain't going to have time to go through the other part. But I'll tell you another little story. It's over in the New Testament. When Peter and the rest of the disciples had been out all night fishing and they hadn't caught anything. Remember, familiar with the story? Hadn't caught anything all night long. And Jesus says, cast your nets on the other side. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking if I was a professional fisherman like Peter was and the rest of them had a lot of fishing experience, I'd be thinking, who is this? Tell me to cast them on the other side of the boat. We fished all night. We ain't caught nothing. But nevertheless, they said, they cast them out. And the nets got so full, they couldn't raise them. They had to literally take them and drag them out to the sand, out on the shore. All because they obeyed him. See, they went from a state of nothing to a state of plenty. They caught so many fish, like I said, they couldn't even pull them up. They had to drag them in the sand. Now I want to give you a nugget this morning. You know, when you drag something across the sand, it leaves evidence that you've been there. It leaves a mark in the sand. What about you this morning? Are you leaving some drag marks in the sand? God's changed your state. Are you leaving the marks? When others walk in to meet you for the first time, do they know without a shadow of a doubt that God Almighty has changed your state? Do they know that? If we're allowing God to be that heat source, they will. If they don't, then guess what? We've allowed that heat source to be backed off a little bit. You know, I think about a lot of times in a lot of these churches, it's, thank goodness it's not the case here, but in a lot of churches we see people that's been saved for 30, 40 years and they come in, they sit at the exact same chair every single Sunday. They get mad if you sit there. And they never get up and go back to the back to that teenager and sit with him and tell him how great God is and that he wants to change your state. as they come and get us ready for worship this. You know, if we would do that, if we would go back there and sit down with that teenager, sing one of his songs, sing one of the songs that they like. If we'd do that, God just might change both of you state. As they get us ready this morning here, I want to ask you something. So I know the Spirit of God is moving. And I know that He has spoke to every heart in here. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. He's wanting to change your state this morning. Would you come? If you're here and you're lost and you're undone without Him, you don't know Him. He wants to change your state this morning. Would you come up to the altar? You may be sitting there, say, well, I'm already saved, I'm good. God don't need to change my state anymore. Yes, He does. Me and Dennis was talking about it sort of about the same thing earlier. He always wants to change your state. We will never get out of that change of state until we are with Him. He wants to mold us. He wants to shape us back into His image and His likeness. And we got a lifetime of that. He's still sitting there and saying, okay, everything's good. Okay, great. Then come up here and pray that the state of this community be changed. That the state of this church will be changed. That the state of this nation will be changed. The state of this state will be changed.